Well, good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. If you will take your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Towards the end of the lesson, we're going to read about 13 verses. Most of you probably have read Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is an amazing psalm in both content and structure. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It contains 176 verses. It's also known as an acrostic poem. That means that each stanza begins with a letter, and here in particular it's a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's divided into 22 stanzas, and each verse in each stanza begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The topic of Psalms 119 is God's word and how it is to be treasured. Literally, it's a summary of the Bible from A to Z. Now, this evening, you know, we're not going to study the entire 176 verses. I'm not going to read them all. We're just simply going to examine two. Psalms 119, verse 59, and verse 60. The first part of Psalms 119 and verse 59, the first part, says, I thought on my ways. The psalmist here has engaged in introspection. In other words, it's a reflective look inward. He's saying here that, hey, I'm examining myself. I'm looking at myself, where I stand before God. We can see something similar. Luke says in chapter 15 and verse 17, and when he came to himself, most of you know this passage here, speaking of the prodigal son. He says, and when he came to himself, he stopped. He looked inside. He seen where he was. He seen what was taking place. He seen what he had done wrong. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Basically, he's saying the same thing as Psalms 119 and verse 59, the first part. I thought about my ways. I was thinking about the situation that I find myself in. And as the prodigal son seen in, he wasn't where he should be, so he's going to change his ways. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup in a worthy manner. Again, every Lord's Day, when we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper, we should look into ourselves to see if we're worthy. If we have sinned, we need to repent. It's that simple. We need to reflect on the way we have lived during the week before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul here says to the Corinthians, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Look where you stand. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates? Every day that we are on the face of this earth, every day, we need to look inside. We need to look at how we're living. Is what I'm doing, is it right in the sight of God? Then we can read in Psalms 90, starting in verse 10 through verse 12. And the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What the psalmist is saying here is that we need to look at our lives daily, because we don't know about tomorrow. And then we read in Psalms 119, the latter part of verse 59, and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. He says, I turn my feet to your testimonies. The psalmist here is appealing to the proper source. He's not going outside of God's word to find what he needs. You know, the world around us today is really no different than it was in the days of the prophets and the days of the apostles. There are many voices within the world today that beckon us and call to us. Just as in the old days, in the days of the prophets. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's bad enough. But notice what happened. And the princes bear rule by their means, by their own think-sos. And my people love to have it so. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, by what they think God wants, not what God specifies, but what they believe God wants, and the people love it. The people love it. And what will you do in the end thereof? Now notice Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And then we see in Jeremiah 24 verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people, even in Joshua's day, was having a problem because they were listening to other voices and not God's word. And then, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. We've been given warning. Just as there was false prophets among the people back then, there's going to be false teachers among us now. And there are many false teachers out there. There's many voices clamoring for our attention. And then we can read also, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then we read in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then we read in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we want to make heaven, then we must be doing the will of the Father and not listening to all of the voices that surround us every day and, like I said, that clamor for our attention. You know, the psalmist says, I thought about my ways, and then I turned my feet to your testimonies. But he didn't leave it there. Because in Psalms 119 and verse 60, we read this, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He responded without delay. I'm not going to wait another minute. All right? I thought about my ways. I turned my feet into your testimonies. And I made haste not to delay to keep thy commandments. The psalmist here is saying, I didn't put it off until tomorrow. You know, as human beings, we love to procrastinate, do we not? We love to put things off until tomorrow. But the psalmist here says he made haste and he did not delay in keeping thy commandments because he knew, he understood that later may not come. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. There are many in the denominational world. If you want to obey the gospel, actually, if you want to be baptized, first of all, they'll vote on it. And then they'll put it off for maybe a week, 2 weeks, to a month. Where do we read that in our New Testament? The psalmist says, I made haste and did not delay in keeping thy commandments. If we are living a faithful life in the eyes of God, then we cannot delay in obedience. We can't do it. And then we read in John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, do it now, not later. When we put things off, things don't get done. When we put off obeying the gospel, when we put off being faithful until a better time, we're risking our salvation. Your Bibles, Matthew 25. I want to start reading in verse 1. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Most of you know these passages. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They put off being prepared. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were unprepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels and vessels with their lamps. They took extra oil. They prepared themselves. They made sure that when the bridegroom comes, they would be prepared. I thought about my ways. I turned my feet into your testimonies. I made haste, and I did not delay. Again, verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Hey, you know, help us out here. But you know what? When we pass from this life into eternity, there's not going to be anybody to help. We need to prepare today, not tomorrow. These 10 virgins here, five took extra oil. They prepared. They were ready. But the other five, yeah, they thought they were ready. But the bridegroom tarried and took a little bit longer than they anticipated. You know, we've been waiting for the second coming of Christ now for how many years? Almost 2,000? A little bit more? How's our lamps? How much oil do we have? Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them and that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came unexpectedly. They heard the call, but yet they were unprepared, and they lingered, and they waited. And while finally they decided to go and buy for themselves, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Why didn't this bridegroom know them? Because they wasn't ready. They didn't have what was needed. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, I think a couple of the greatest challenges to Christians today is that of being lethargic, lukewarm, and perhaps even a failure to evaluate the true standing before God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith the Lord, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Do you think that churches Sardis truly understood the situation that they were in? It took revelation to show them, hey, you think you're prepared? You're not. I dare to say that there's many, many people, and maybe some even here, that need to think and do better. We need to think about our ways. We need to turn our feet, turn our direction, turn our lives to the testimonies, to God's word. And let's make haste and not delay, because we're not promised tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. So if you're here, if you're in need of prayer, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from